Hi everyone, welcome to our podcast with our annual conference speakers, Nikki Deason and Rob Williams. They're both speaking at the session, a very popular session in October on how to think like a CEO. This session is very much in line with what's happening now. So it will be fantastic for us to deliver a little bit on how to start thinking like a CEO during the coronavirus pandemic and the difficulties that charities have. I'll let Nikki and Rob introduce themselves and then we'll have a brief chat on how they are both on, and get their advice on the situation.
Hi everyone, I'm Nikki Deason. I have been working in the charity sector for about 30 years in finance and senior management roles. And I left Amnesty in December as a finance director. And since then, I've been a charity coach and business mentor. And I've spoken to a few charity chief execs and finance directors and finance guys recently. So hopefully my experience will be useful today.
Hi, I'm Rob Williams. I'm the CEO of War Child, and I've been the CEO here for 8 years, but actually I've been a CEO for, I think, 16 years. Before that, I had a background in finance. I qualified with Ernst & Young a long time ago. So Nikki and I were going to discuss where there are differences and overlaps between how an FD thinks and how a CEO thinks at the conference. Which is a really interesting subject, but actually in light of the COVID-19 crisis, maybe even more interesting than it was before.
Thank you. Before we move on to the questions, I wanted to ask you, Nikki, as you have participated in one of our members' meetings a couple of weeks ago, and I know we have done some polls there on how people are coping now, where do they feel that they stand now, where their heads are at. I thought we'll be able to share the poll results and discuss it a little bit further.
Sure. So the poll should be appearing on your screen now. And what I found really interesting when I polled the participants of three webinars back around the 5th of May is that about one in five of us are in the denial, frustration, or depression stages, which means that we're still struggling to deal with the effects of the coronavirus and the difficulties of working in lockdown while recognizing that we can't do things how we did them before. About half of us are in the experiment phase, which means that we're starting to test new ways of working and feel more positive about some of the opportunities that's been presented by the lockdown. And about a third of us are in the decision and integration phases, which means that we've really started to let go of the past and focus on what the future can hold and how really best our charities can thrive in the new world. So Rob, having presented that slide, how do you relate to that and how does it, is it relevant to your role?
Yeah, I love that model because I can see me having moved through those different stages, and actually War Child, the whole organization, there was real denial, especially earlier this year when cases were beginning to appear in different places. We thought that it was another SARS and it would be limited. It wasn't really till I think late February when we realized that we really needed to look at what would happen if it became a pandemic. But actually, the denial phase itself was fairly short because our finance director put down in front of us a forecast about how much income we would lose if we couldn't do events that gathered large numbers of people together, which is a big part of our business model. And once you see that on a piece of paper, you can't really deny it for that long. Definitely frustration phase. But I actually think we skipped depression, because there's a certain amount of energy that comes from having to come up with a survival plan. And we got into experimentation. We were pushed into it because in some of our countries where we operate, we were facing real challenges in adjusting services so that we could still reach children and be useful to them. So it could be that we didn't linger in depression all that long. But I love the last phase, the integration bit, where you really get to grips with the future. And I think that's, we're just building ourselves into that phase now.
And I think it's really interesting that you say that you didn't really spend much time in the depression phase. And I suspect that a lot of chief execs will have been like you, having to sort of just keep moving really quickly towards experimentation. Mm. And the risk there is that you haven't taken a moment to properly let go of the past and recognize what you are going to have to leave behind and really allow yourself to go through that sort of sadness of saying goodbye to that old world. And bearing that in mind, do you think there are any aspects that you're still holding on to that you need to let go of?
I think there are. I think the way we've managed it is to focus on a survival plan to cope with our lower income this year. And the language in our survival plan is about postponing things and delaying some other things and maybe suspending some big ideas that we were going to develop this year. You know, temporary language. We actually have a graph. It's quite funny to think back to mid-March. We have a graph of how long it would take for things to get back to normal with those curves that people probably still remember. I think we're now in the second stage. We are accepting that the future is really different, that maybe this thing which we thought was delayed is actually now cancelled and isn't part of our future, and that back to normal is no longer a viable scenario. It's easier to do that now because a little bit further down the road, we can see some real opportunities and some really interesting things that we want to do that are more interesting than the things that we're probably going to have to drop. So in a way, we've kind of skirted the depression by using the language of delay in March and now using the language of opportunity in May. But yes, we have to finally drop things which are suspended and you know, elevate the things which are exciting about the future.
And it sounds like as a chief exec, you've really managed to get into that positive mindset, which is brilliant. So for all of those listening, for all the finance folks who are used to staying perhaps in a more sort of cautious and maybe, dare I say, negative mindset, how can we as finance people start to think more like a chief exec and really add value to our organizations and help them to be in the most successful place after COVID?
Well, the basic role, let's say you've got covered, you've nailed the risks involved in the future, because that's what CEO really wants to get from a finance person. But then the added value is to share the exploration of the opportunity, you know, the fundraising opportunities, the program effectiveness opportunities, the chance to remodel your cost base and maybe explore all the opportunities that we can now see come from more home working and less office based. So more about opportunity would certainly be along the lines where the CEO should be thinking. So if you can think together about that, that's a really powerful combination.
Thank you very much, Paul, for this. Before we conclude, I just wanted to go back to your slide, Nikki, and just ask a final question about that. So how do you think this curve, how do finance managers and other finance officers can use this for their work and can use this to think about future as well?
Yeah, so if I just put up the change curve that I was talking about, this shows again the different stages that we're all going through in relation to COVID. And I think, so whether you're early in your career or you're a senior finance person, I think really recognizing where you're at on that change curve and therefore where you're heading for and how you can help yourself get to that next stage will really help your organization. And also bearing in mind that all of the people who you're coming into contact with are all at different stages of this curve. And so being sympathetic to everyone around you, if they're acting in a strange way, it's probably because they're at these early phases and they're feeling vulnerable. And of course, we all have different personalities that also are going to affect how we are. And of course, while we're all working from home, it's a very different way of working, and it does mean that we're all more emotional. So I think bearing in mind all of those things will really help all of us, to whatever job we're in, to be the best leader that we can be and help our organizations be as successful as possible going forward.
Thank you, Nikki. Just to summarize, do you have any final advice or would you like to give any further thoughts to the audience?
I guess my final thought is that there will be some charities who emerge with a really renewed set of ideas around their purpose and their business models and a whole load of new energy. And I think to unlock that, we need to not try and extrapolate our planning into the future, but really imagine the future from very basic principles. So extrapolation probably won't work, and next year is going to be nothing like last year. And that's quite liberating. There's a huge amount of scope for us to imagine our own futures now.
Thank you very much, Nikki.
Yeah, and I think from my side, I think as accountants and finance people, we've all been very focused on the cash and the reserves and trying to protect those. And so without letting that go, it is also about trying to switch our mind into the business and really trying to understand what our fundraising director's thinking, what our chief exec is thinking, and sort of asking open questions and being curious. Because with our input, as well as the rest of the organization's input, we can all get the best outcome for our charities for the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, both Nikki and Rob, for sharing your thoughts and your expertise with our audience. And obviously, I look forward to seeing you and everyone who's joining annual conference, to seeing you all in person on 13th of October. Thank you so much, and I wish you a great afternoon.
Thank you. Looking forward to that. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks.